This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
You're listening to Kelly and Company. I'm Ramya Amuthan, and joining me to co-host the Thursday show is Brock Richardson. I want to tell you a bit about what's going on this weekend on AMI Audio. Saturday morning on The Pulse on AMI Audio. That's at 10 a.m. Eastern time if you want to check it out. Your host, Jawita Gupta, is speaking to Amy McPherson. She's a doctor, scientist, at Bloorview Kids Hospital. And they're going to talk about an ongoing art exhibit illuminating... Oh, it's called Illuminary. This explores the way that youth with disabilities navigate sexuality across healthcare settings. Sunday at 10 a.m., the very next day, 10 a.m. Eastern, we're going to learn or hear from Ed Tobias, who explains why he's against the idea of Disability Pride Month. That's in July. So right now, I'm really curious.
Always... Pulse at 10 a.m. Eastern on Saturdays and Sundays. And of course, your host is Jawita Gupta. With that, it's time to bring on Jeff Ryman for another edition of What in the World?
The defendant's guilty verdict in a firearms case can't be automatically reversed just because the judge dozed off. The cries were that of a 40-year-old parrot named what? Rambo. Let me out. Some of it weird, some of it just crazy. This is What in the World on Kelly and Company.
Mind-boggling.
Jeff, I think that's one of my favorite of your intros between the three that you have because of that infamous word mind-boggling on the end of it that we can't seem to get Rumi to say on the air. We'll keep it.
Never said it on air again.
Totally fine. We had a question for you because we were discussing this off the top of the show earlier. How long can you go without checking sports? I admitted that I have my Google Home that's within about 3 feet of me, and sometimes I'll have major sporting events on. Are you one of those, or can you kind of unplug for longer times?
I can definitely unplug for a longer time. It's definitely harder than it seems, especially for, you know, sports lovers like you and I, Brock. Remya, probably super simple for you. But yeah, honestly, usually if I go up north somewhere, like to a cottage or if I'm camping,
yeah, you unplug.
I totally unplug. Like, I mean, the odd time if I'm, you know, winding down for the night in my bed or something, you know, I might check social media, just, you know, a quick little refresh on Twitter and just, you know, see what's going on that way. But honestly, whenever I'm on vacation, I pretty much disconnect from just the news cycle in general, and that usually includes sports for the most part. So yes, like I can, I don't know how long I can necessarily go for. But I for a weekend, it's honestly not a huge problem. And when I had my cottage and I'd go up there every single weekend, we got pretty much zero cell phone reception. So it was hard, even if I wanted to, it was pretty hard to even refresh Twitter or even receive or you know, receive text or call somebody. So, you know, disconnecting, I really dig it. It is honestly nice, but I think a weekend is probably the most that I would do.
See, that's where you're a bit more, I guess, at an advantage. Because obviously, if it wasn't available to me, I would not be able to do it. But I am guilty as charged when I'm away for the weekend or for a couple of days. I'm like, but I want to know how the Blue Jays did, or I want to know what's going on here. And it is to the detriment of my fiance, who's like, you're supposed to be on holidays. What are you doing? And it's just like, but I just love sports as an overall. Right. And it's even hard for me, you know, on Fridays when I'm not on the neutral zone, it's like, but I want to know how they're doing. And then again, my fiance repeats, but you're on holiday, right? So it's really tough when you do things you enjoy as part of your job, but it is important to unplug at the same time. Jeff, what do you got for us that's in the weird and wacky world today?
Yeah, so this first article honestly sort of left me speechless on multiple fronts. And it's pretty crazy. A Wyoming rancher who was pinned by an all-terrain vehicle survived on beer and bottled water for 2 days. Yeah, beer and bottled water, he survived. 53-year-old Frank Reynolds is expected to recover from that ordeal. He told the Gillette News Record that he was trying to round up a cow and a calf on a neighbor's pasture outside Gillette when the vehicle tipped over on him on Sunday. Worried family members eventually learned that Reynolds had gone to the property where he was laying with a dislocated shoulder and broken ribs.
Oh my
Authorities
gosh.
Say, I know. Reynolds had a cooler and was able to ration a couple bottles of water and Keystone Light beers until a neighbor found him on Tuesday. So could you imagine just going out, trying to round up some cattle, and next thing you know, your vehicle, you're pinned underneath it, you've got a dislocated shoulder, you've got some broken ribs, and you survive off of water and beer. Incredible.
I mean, hopefully the beer helped like numb the pain a bit. I don't know if it's that much beer.
Yeah.
On an empty stomach? Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, honestly, like it makes sense. And you know, obviously there's carbs in, you know, in beer. So, I mean, that would fill you up a little bit, I guess, if you were hungry. I mean, I believe the human body can go around 2 weeks or so without having any food. It's around 2 to 3 days. If you don't have any water. So thank goodness that he did have, looks like, a couple of bottles of water and a couple of beers, which would also keep you hydrated to a certain extent. And thank goodness people found him. That could have been a scary, scary situation for him, just lying there for 2 days. And, you know, what could have happened if somebody didn't find him. So just an incredible story. And it almost reminds me, I don't know if you guys watch The Ranch, but there was something similar that happened in that TV show on Netflix, and where he was pinned against a vehicle, one of the main characters, and just waited there, and then eventually somebody helped him off the ranch. So incredible story from Wyoming, and thank goodness that he's going to make a full recovery, and I'm sure he'll be back out there and maybe a little bit more cautious next time. But beer and water literally saved this man's life. So I'm sure he's pretty happy that he's still alive.
Hey, you know, something is better than nothing. And I can guarantee you there are some beer drinkers out there who are applauding because they're sitting there going, see, I knew that beer could do something beneficial for me. So that's good. But I'm really glad to hear that he made a full recovery as well. But
I just wonder what he's going to feast on. Like when I see, because I watch a lot of I Survived, right, episodes, and it's very not, it's really scary, like Mayday. But, you know, when people have to survive in the middle of the sea and or, you know, stuck somewhere or things like that, where the first thing I think of being so in love with food is, oh my gosh, without food for this many days, and then what would you feast on when you get back home?
Well, in this guy's case, I probably wouldn't feast on cows because this is probably half of the reason.
No burgers?
I feel like, you know, something that would fill you up quite substantially, maybe like a nice pasta dinner, like lots of carbs. Because that, like, if I'm really hungry, it's carbs. Like, I crave carbs. Like, give me all the bread, give me all the unlimited salad and breadsticks and pasta and all that. So I would probably lean towards that, or maybe some sort of chicken wings or something. And then obviously have to have a massive chocolate sundae or something. So
delish.
Yeah, but definitely not steak.
You always need that sugar after you eat carbs. It's just the thing that happens, and then you need a solid hour and a half nap because you're exhausted after all that bread and pasta, Jeff.
Yeah. Guys, actually, speaking of food, we can segue nicely into this next article. And I know we've talked about this multiple times, probably in the past couple of months, but billions of people around the world regularly eat insects. But they're not commonly found in our Western diets. That could change, because as Earth's growing population puts more pressure on global food production, insects are increasingly seen as a viable food source. Experts say they're rich in protein. I know. Rich in protein, yet can be raised much more sustainably than beef or pork. EU regulatory changes are making it easier for them to market insects directly to the bloc's consumers. Humans may also end up eating more insects indirectly because of the growing market for bug-based animal feed after the EU and the US approved insect protein for fish and chicken feed. I'm sort of cringing just reading this article to you guys.
I can't even think that this is food.
Yeah, I agree. Like, insects, like, you know, when I think of insects, I think of like mosquitoes and black flies, and I hate those things because they eat me and I don't want to eat them. Obviously, we wouldn't be eating mosquitoes and black flies, but, you know, just insects in general, I think just creep people out a little bit. And
but there are enough people. Like, don't you guys know people who've tried, you know, cricket?
Oh, yeah.
Chocolate covered crickets or cricket powder in their smoothies or something like that. And honestly, the only way to get me to try this stuff, and we've been talking about it at least on the show for a year, okay, with this stuff becoming popular. But the only way for me to have done this is if a friend didn't tell me about it, they tossed it into my food and then I ate it. And then they were like, surprised you had cricket powder in there. And then I would disown them as a friend.
It's like, oh, this is really nice. This salad has a really nice crunch to it. Are these sesame seeds? Oh, no, those are cricket legs or something.
you would have to cover it in chocolate for me to do anything of the sort.
You would to the point that
someone would say, would you like any cricket with that chocolate? And then at that point, it's like, what's the point? Because I've covered it with a pound of chocolate. No,
that's still brave to me.
Yeah. Sometimes we do it indirectly. I can accept indirectly because I don't know about it. But if someone said to me, here, try this, and I knew about it, not a chance would I be trying that. No,
like, personally, I'm not the most adventurous eater. Like, I'm not adventurous, but I wouldn't say I'm, like, super outgoing with my eating. And this is just a hard no for me all the way around. You know, even if you put chocolate on it, I mean, that chocolate ratio would have to be, like, 4-1. So, therefore, it'd just be the majority of chocolate. Yeah.
For me, it's just like mentally knowing that the crunch in that chocolate is crushed almonds is like, no, I can't do it.
Like, the one thing I'm thinking of when we say chocolate covered insects, I'm almost thinking of, like, you know, those crispy chocolate bars where it has like the little pieces of Rice Krispie in it. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm just imagining this being. And I don't feel like it would be that bad. Like you said, Remy, if you had no idea that, you know, if somebody hands you a chocolate bar and you're like, oh, this is pretty good, and they don't tell you till after the fact, then maybe you might enjoy it and then hate yourself after the fact.
Yeah.
I don't think I would knowingly eat insects in any way, shape, or form, whether that's like, you know, crushed up into a salad or somehow deep fried or, you know, covered in chocolate, whatever it may be.
I just
don't think I could get. Yeah, I don't even know if there would be that much of a smell, to be honest. I mean, maybe there would be, but I don't know. I've never tried it before. And don't blame me.
You'll never find out.
No, thank you is what I'm going with there, Jeff. Thanks so much for another great segment of What in the World.
No problem, guys. See ya.
That was What in the World with Jeff Ryman, who joins us on the 2nd and 4th Thursday of the month.
Coming up after the break, we have our weekly roundtable with your host, me, and Lee. Join us. She's our audio and IT system specialist. We'll be right back with that on Kelly and Company.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.